President Trump is in Singapore for his much-anticipated meeting with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. But at least part of his focus is still on the weekend's tense G7 summit in Canada. Trump argued with his fellow leaders over his planned tariffs on steel and aluminum and what he calls unfair trade practices. The attendees say they're worried about a potential trade war over those tariffs. In particular, Trump called out Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau for implementing, quote, massive tariffs, especially on U.S. farmers. Trump also called him very dishonest and weak, saying he was mild-mannered during the meetings, then acted tough in front of the media afterward. Economic advisor Peter Navarro echoed those comments on Fox News Sunday.
There's a special place in hell for any foreign leader that engages in bad faith diplomacy with President Donald J. Trump and then tries to stab him in the back on the way out the door. And that's what bad faith Justin Trudeau did with that stunt press conference. That's what weak, dishonest Justin Trudeau did. And that comes right from Air Force One.
Trump also said the U.S. would not endorse a G7 communique that he had previously agreed to. Our next guest says the global community should have seen a lot of this coming. Edward Alden is a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations who specializes on U.S. economic competitiveness. He's also the author of the book Failure to Adjust, How Americans Got Left Behind in the Global Economy. Ted, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, great to be with you, Rob. Thank you.
Well, before we get into a piece you wrote on this, this weekend was unusually, I guess, zesty when it comes to trade negotiations. What do you make of this aftermath of the G7 meeting?
Yeah, that's one way to put it. I've been watching trade negotiations closely for about 25 years now, and I have never seen anything close to this. I mean, the sort of language that Peter Navarro used to describe the leader of a close allied power, we've all been scratching our heads here to try to see if we can think of any parallels. So it was an extraordinary low point in relations among the countries that, for better or worse, have largely been in charge of managing the global economy for the last 40 or so years. So quite extraordinary.
Now, apart from the language, the core case from the White House seems to be Prime Minister Trudeau was talking one way in this meeting and then came out after and said Canada would do retaliatory tariffs to the steel and aluminum tariffs imposed by the U.S. Is there any case to be made that Trudeau is acting in bad faith there?
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, I think the Canadians have been very consistent on this. They have indicated their preference for a negotiated outcome when the United States went ahead on June 1st and imposed tariffs on Canadian and European as well, Mexican and other steel and aluminum exports. Canada announced quite clearly, quite publicly, along with the EU and Mexico, that it would retaliate against the United States. Canada published its list of the products that are going to be targeted in retaliation a couple of weeks ago. So Prime Minister Trudeau was just reiterating things that he's been saying for some time now. The timing may well have irked President Trump in advance of the summit meeting with Kim Jong-un in Singapore, but the message was absolutely consistent with what the Canadians have been saying for some weeks now.
And you wrote recently that President Trump and candidate Donald Trump has been consistent on the issue of tariffs and trade, and that world leaders, whether the president is right or not, shouldn't have been surprised by his tough tactics.
I mean, there has been an extraordinary consistency of Donald Trump's approach on this issue. He had a tweet that came out today that attacked Germany over its trade surplus with the United States and complained that the U.S. is spending far more on defense and makes much larger contributions to NATO than Germany does. You go back to the mid-1980s when Donald Trump first considered a run for president, he took out a full-page ad in the New York Times and the Boston Globe and the Washington Post saying exactly the same things about the Japanese, saying, why are we paying to defend Japan when Japan is beating us so badly on trade? Look at their big trade surplus. So he has been completely consistent on this. I have some sympathy for leaders in all these countries because it's been hard to move him off of this position at all. They have tried in various ways, but it's not like this was unexpected to anyone who had followed Trump's statements on the issue over the years and during the campaign, where he was also quite explicit.
And you wrote that people may have expected, okay, once he is in office as the president, he'll have cooler heads, maybe advisors around him. He'll see the value as president in having these close relationships, even if trade isn't always perfectly balanced. You say no. In fact, he's become his own trade representative, and he's sticking to where he was 30-plus years ago.
Yeah, I mean, very much the few advisors he had that were resistant, particularly Gary Cohn, his national economic advisor, but also Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, and H.R. McMaster, who was his national security advisor, they are all gone now. They are replaced by people who are either more sympathetic to the president's approach on trade or just willing to fall into line, like Larry Kudlow, his new economic advisor. The fact that Peter Navarro is out there on television making those sort of inflammatory comments indicates the change. I mean, Navarro is a trade hardliner, quite anti-China in many respects, has been for years, and he's now being put out in front as a spokesman for the president. So there's been a pretty significant change just over the past several months, which leads me to believe that this is going to get much worse. We may only be at the early stages of the trade conflict here.
Talking to Edward Alden from the Council on Foreign Relations, author of Failure to Adjust: How Americans Got Left Behind in the Global Economy. Talking about tariffs, trade, and a tough meeting, a G7 meeting in Canada. Does the president have a case that's worth considering? Does the U.S. lose in significant ways in our international trade agreements?
Certainly in some of our trade relationships. There are big problems, to be sure, with China, not just U.S. problems, but problems that all the world has with restrictions in China. The U.S.-Japan trading relationship is not as balanced as it ought to be. I think there are legitimate issues with Mexico. Canada is an odd target because, according to U.S. figures, the United States runs a trade surplus with Canada. So it's hard to kind of single out Canada as an unfair trader. Obviously, dairy access is a big issue there in Wisconsin, but across the board, that's a pretty balanced trading relationship. I do think, you know, Trump has some legitimate concerns. The problem is the way he's going about them. I mean, there have been periods in recent history when the U.S. has expressed concerns over imbalances in the early 1970s, again in the later 1980s during the Reagan administration. And this stuff was worked out with U.S. allies. The very confrontational, aggressive approach that Trump has taken is far out of the norm for our relationships with these countries.
Is this just a tough negotiating tactic? We talk tough, eventually countries will fall into line, give us better deals?
We haven't seen that yet. So, I mean, I think that was clearly the president's hope. There's been a lot of tough talk. It's so far the only country that has kind of fallen into line is South Korea, which agreed to some restrictions on its steel exports to the U.S. and a couple of other things. But it is rather uniquely dependent on the U.S. security guarantee. Every other major trading partner, China, Canada, Mexico, the European Union, has so far refused to fall into line. I think the president's hope is that by actually hitting these countries with tariffs, they will then reconsider. But it forgets politics in other countries. I mean, Justin Trudeau's popularity in Canada is soaring simply because he's standing up to the United States, standing up to Donald Trump, and saying he's going to hit back as hard as the Americans are hitting him. So I think this is backfiring on the president, but I'm afraid he won't see it that way. His response will be to double down and try to increase the threats and the retaliation and hope he can force these countries to heal.
Apart from back-and-forth tariffs between us and our neighbors and the EU and others, is there a concern that countries are going to say, okay, maybe we need to dial back our trade commitments to the U.S., period? Mexico, we've heard, is looking for other sources for pork, for one thing. Do we come out of this and find that, hey, other people have replaced American products with something from elsewhere, and we end up losing out?
I mean, I think there's no case. I think, you know, the Canadians, the Mexicans, the Europeans, the Japanese, every country is making frenetic efforts to do exactly that. You know, of course, President Trump pulled the United States out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership his third day in office. That would have opened up significant new markets for the United States, particularly in agriculture in Japan. That agreement is going ahead without the United States. So there's no question every country that's trading with the United States right now is looking for diversification. It's harder for some countries than for others. I mean, Canada sends about 70% of its exports to the United States. For Mexico, it's nearly 80%. So that is much more difficult for those countries to find new sources, both for their products and also for purchasing the products they currently get from the United States, but they certainly are trying to do that as quickly as they possibly can.
I want to turn to domestic American politics. A lot of people are suspicious of these trade agreements on the left and the right. The Trans-Pacific Partnership seemed almost toxic during the presidential election. Here in the U.S., definitely some communities, some industries have been hurt by international trade. Did we not do enough in the United States to alleviate that, to say, okay, yes, some people are being hurt disproportionately? Is that one of the ways we failed to adjust, to draw from the title of your book?
Yeah, I mean, the answer is absolutely. We didn't do nearly enough as a country. And this was all predictable. I mean, President Kennedy back in 1962, when he created the Trade Adjustment Assistance Program, said, look, trade is a policy that's good for the United States as a whole. It's good for our diplomacy, good for our companies, great for us as consumers. We get cheaper, better products. But there are going to be places in the country that are harmed by it, that are open to foreign competition, where factories go out of business, where people lose their jobs. And we need to help those individuals and those communities adjust, get back on their feet, and move forward. We failed miserably at that as a country. If you look at the amount of money we spend on different workforce training programs, we spend about 1/7 the European average. We spend less as a percentage of our economy than any OECD country except for Mexico and Chile. I could give you lots of other examples, but there are lots of parts of the country, including Wisconsin, where we've seen some pretty negative impacts from trade, and little or nothing was done to help those places and those individuals. So it shouldn't be surprising that we've seen this kind of backlash. This is the chickens coming home to roost for decades of neglect from Washington and elsewhere.
In our last minute or so, we know where the president is on this issue. Do you see a role for Congress in trying to maybe step in and de-escalate a spiraling trade war?
I mean, there's no question there should be. Under the Constitution, foreign commerce is clearly under the authority of Congress. Congress has the power to pull back the president on this issue. But so far, the Republican leadership has made it very clear it has no intention of doing that. And even if the Democrats take the House and or the Senate in November, I don't see the Democrats doing that. I mean, generally, you know, as you suggested in your earlier question, the Democrats have been very skeptical of trade, including the TPP and NAFTA and other deals. So I think the president is going to continue to have a lot of room to run, and other countries and we here in the United States are going to have to deal with the consequences of that.
Briefly, you sound worried.
I'm very worried. I think we are on the brink of potentially a seriously damaging trade war, which could harm not only economies around the world, but longstanding alliance relationships. So, you know, in my sort of 30-year career of doing this stuff, I've never been as worried as I am right at the moment.
Ted, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks very much, Rob.
That's Edward Alden, senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, who specializes in U.S. economic competitiveness. He's the author of the book Failure to Adjust, How Americans Got Left Behind in the Global Economy. We talked to him about this weekend's G7 summit in Canada, trade, tariffs, and what could happen next.